Welcome to the final podcast of 2025. Can you believe it? Lindsay here. Brilliant to have you along, wrapping up the year with a bit of an early Christmas present. And it's a cracker of a pod. One, because of my Christmas puns, but two, because there is so much to talk about. This is a jam-packed episode. Franchise owner David Jennings tells me what it's like to watch a Thunder game as both a superfan and owner of the club. International signing sensation Sophie Fawns explains why, if you haven't already, you should buy a ticket to see Thunder live in 2026. I have got the best Christmas present idea going for you. And Fanalysis. Well, look, why don't you wait and see? So pop on your compression stockings, get ready to slay like a netballer. It's beginning to look a lot like Thundercast. So for this episode of the pod, I've made my way to Platt Lane Sports Complex. It's just after 11 in the morning and Thunder have finished a pre-season training session. International duty calls for a number of the squad, but I have seen the familiar faces. I've seen Taylor McKevitt, I've seen Josie Huckle, and I've seen Elia McCormick as well, who apparently has been working very hard in the training today. But I've also seen one much newer face, Thunder's new international signing, Australian shooter Sophie Fawns, who's made the 24-hour journey across the world to join the yellow and black ahead of the season. Sophie, it is so wonderful to have you in Manchester.
Oh, it's so grateful to be here, Lindsay.
Now, I've mentioned you've literally just stepped off the court, a training session with Karen. How does that feel? How is it different to what you've been doing out in Australia?
Yeah, it was bloody hard today, especially with not many of us here, but honestly, just loving the experience and seeing what, I guess, Karen has to offer as well. To be honest, the sessions are pretty similar. I like to think maybe I'm just tired because of travel 24 hours, but yeah, I think I've got my work cut out for me in trying to keep up with these girls here.
When you first arrived, I saw a picture on Instagram. I think Karen met you at the airport. Is that right?
She did, yes. I was very grateful her and my manager Meg came and met me at the airport.
And these are the kind of faces you're going to be seeing day in, day out. Does that make a difference when a team sort of welcomes you in that way?
Yeah, definitely. And I was sort of, messaged Karen and Megan, was kind of like, am I expected to Uber to my house? Or is someone going to be at the airport? But no, I was honestly so grateful. They just took me straight under their wing. Like I stayed at Karen's house that night, met her family, and it was just super nice to be super involved. And I think straight away have that comfort piece of you're not like someone who's from the outside, you're now part of the family. So that was really nice.
And just to sort of continue with that theme, we wanted to welcome you to the UK in the right way. So we've switched the rain on here in Manchester just so that you really understand what it's like. That switch between Australia and the weather that we have here in the UK. Have you been to the UK before?
I've never been to the UK before and it is cold. Everyone's telling me it's pretty warm. This is like a nice spring day when I first arrived and I'm in my thermals, puffer jacket, like the whole lot, pretty much decked out.
It's beautiful and you'll get used to it. Northern grit is something that you are going to learn, I can promise you. Now, I know that you've come mainly for the weather, but what really persuaded you to come and be part of Thunder?
Yeah, I think when I first was, shopping around, Karen reached out to me and I was kind of like, oh, you never say no, but I'm, pretty content on staying in Australia. And it was probably just one of those moments where the more I thought about it, I couldn't stop thinking about moving here. And having offers from other clubs in Australia, like it just, I couldn't quite see myself at those clubs, but I felt like I could see myself here. And I think that was a really big driver to come. It was one of those things that was always going to be hard, but at the same time, if I didn't do it, I was going to regret it.
And I definitely think it is hard. You know, it's sort of great to hear you say it's not an easy move to make and there's lots of things that you consider in doing that. Did you speak to Helen Housby about the club? Because you've played out with her, with Swifts, and she's from Manchester Thunder.
Yeah, I actually told Helen at like our end of season presentation and she just had nothing but great things to say about the club, which I think brought a lot of peace of mind to me as well, that I knew that I was going into a great place. And she was kind of like, I'm going to be here in November as well, so I'll still see you around. Yeah, so it was really exciting to, like, I guess, have that bit of home as well.
Let's talk about your game then, because I'm a fan. You know, obviously I'm a fan and I watch a lot of the Suncourt Super Netball. I love the way that you enter the circle. We know that you're not afraid of a long bomb either. And, you know, who could forget that performance in 2023 to get Swifts into the final? I think you shot a total of, was it 7 super shots and then the winning goal as well. What part of your game are you excited for the fans here in the UK to see? Because you've played in those big stadiums. Like, what are you excited to sort of go, hey,
have a look at this.
Yeah, I'm so excited just to, like, I know Supershot's relatively new here, so I'm super excited to sort of, I guess, bring that strategy, especially working with Elle Cardwell, who's also been playing Suncourt for the past 3 years and is a talent at the Supershot, to be able to work with her and, I guess, sort of bring ideas from different teams of what we can do and really utilise that. But honestly, I'm just excited, like, even doing this training session today, I've probably realised that I'm more of a fast, long runner, so normally beat people on the run, but working actually in small spaces, I think, like, learning off the girls of being smarter in my game, don't necessarily have to run around heaps, so trying to build that part of my game this year, I think.
Well, that's brilliant, because I was going to say, what do you hope to improve about your game here in the UK? Because we have a different style of playing to the way that you play out in Australia.
Yeah, I think, like, even today, Josie and Tay were sort of saying that, like, Elle is someone who's so strong in the circle, like, in terms of bodying up and just being smart. And I think that's someone that I can really learn off. And I'm just excited to, like, learn, like, play against different defence and what they can bring and, how they defend differently too. And I think that's what's so exciting about being here and also having that experience from Australia, where you are playing against imports who are from different countries and have their own sort of style of netball. So being able to play here and learn off more people is just, any opportunity is a great one.
What I think is going to be really fascinating for us as fans this year, and I count myself very much in that, is the shooting circle. Everybody is talking about it. So I know you haven't necessarily had the chance to play with Elle Cardwell or Lois Pearson yet, but when we look at the names on paper, this is a really exciting shooting circle because there are so many options and different things we can go to. When you're on court, how do you adapt to those different styles of play? Because you might be in at shooter, you might be in at goal attack. You know, there's sort of, it's brilliant to have the variety, but as a player, are you always switching your mentality when different people come on?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've always been quite good at adapting fairly quickly to who I'm with and being able to read what they do. And I think that fine line of, like, do you take charge or do you wait for someone else to take charge? And I think that's probably, I was always told there's no such thing as the wrong decision, just indecision. So when you go, you go.
Right. Let's test how quickly you can adapt, because you've talked about it there. Now we're going to test it. So, Aussie to English. Here are some English words, particularly Mancunian phrases. I just wondered if you might know what you thought they meant. So, arcid. What do you think arcid is?
I would think, like, arc up, like, ready to fight. Arcid.
Okay, so arcid means sibling or good friend, like arcid.
Our kid, yeah.
Okay, let's try this one. Let's try this one. Balm cake. Balm cake.
Like, butter cake?
What's a butter cake?
What's barn cake?
It's like a bread bun. So something you'd have on a sandwich on. That's a big Mancunian thing. So in a shop, if you're asking for a sandwich, it might be a barn cake.
Right. Well, that's, I need to write these down. Can you send these
to absolutely.
Me?
Yeah, absolutely. I will WhatsApp you after. Right, here we go. Mad for it.
You're mad for it?
Yes.
You're like, yes, excited for it.
She's got one. Absolutely brilliant. Right, what about this? Give your head a wobble. Give your head a wobble.
Thinking, give your head a wobble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Have a bit of a rethink. Give your head a wobble on that one. Buzzing.
Oh, excited.
Yeah, she knows already. Mint.
Good.
Yes. I need a brew.
Tea.
Yes. Have you done research beforehand? Well done.
Karen did send me a TikTok with slang. Brew was on there.
United and City. Do you know what they are?
Oh, the football team. Soccer.
Good. So you already know about City and United. That's very, very important living in Manchester. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go red with United or blue with City?
Well, I've been told I live on the United side of town, so need to go for United. But then I think everyone here is a Man City fan. But then Helen told me I need to go for Man United. So now I just feel like maybe I should just keep calling it soccer so everyone knows I don't, I'm neutral about it.
So you're like, I don't understand this game. No. And I don't have an affiliation.
Whoever's winning, which apparently is Man City at the moment.
Okay. Oh, she's a glorious supporter. Sophie Fawns.
But I did watch the Beckham documentary. So then, well, I feel obliged to go for Man United.
Okay.
Know.
Do you know what? I'm going to come back to you next year and see which side you've landed on. And Helen Housby, we hear you with Manchester United. But let's see. Let's see. Okay, 2026. Why should people, fans, buy a ticket to come and see Thunder, do you think?
Oh, I think Thunder, like, we just have a really exciting team. I think we have such quality netball, and I think that we're all super nice people. But no, I think that honestly buying a ticket would be amazing to grow our fan base as well, and just would be nice to see everyone's friendly faces at games. But Thunder's going to win, so you want to be supporting a winning team.
Absolutely. Do you know what? Your training is complete, Sophie. You are most welcome here in Manchester. Honestly, it's so brilliant to meet you face-to-face, to have a chat. The fans are so excited to see you out on court. Christmas, though, is coming. It's going to be a cold Christmas.
Yes, I've never done the Christmas markets before. Had no idea they were a thing. So I'm really excited to go into the city and have a look at that, or like go gallivanting around the country and see some other Christmas markets. But I'm actually going to Malaysia for Christmas, so it's going to be a warm one for me again. But I fear I'm going to get sick when I come back because it's supposed to be with negatives and snow, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, there's going to be 4 foot of snow, you're going to be trapped in your house. Doesn't always happen, does happen sometimes, yeah. But, you know, Christmas is supposed to be cold. It's the way it is. Santa likes to be in his hat and his big jacket. So, you know, experience it here in the UK.
It'll be my first cold Christmas.
I think you're going to absolutely love it. Thank you so, so much for talking to me. Best of luck with the training, and we can't wait to see you out on court.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So on Thundercast, we do a section called Fanalysis, which is where the fans do their analysis. They have a look back at what Thunder have been up to, their likes, where they could improve. But what we thought we'd do in this episode is do a bit of team analysis and just think, hey, 2025, the year that was, how did it go? And of course, I've got to start with Karen Gregg. So Karen, lovely to see you.
Thanks, Lindsay. This is a surprise after training.
I've jumped on you immediately after training on a Wednesday morning. But just looking back at the season 2025, what have you learnt? What's the one thing you would take away?
How resilient we are as a group, both staff and players on and off the court, super resilient. So that makes me proud.
So, so proud. And obviously, you've built a new team for 2026. What are you most looking forward to?
I just want to play netball. Honestly, we're getting all these bodies back. Well, we haven't got bodies back. We've got Sophie here now. Carla's joined us from South Africa. So we've got more bodies, which is great. Our England girls are off doing England things, which is amazing. I just can't wait to get everybody in together and actually play some netball, because I think the squad that we've pulled together is unbelievable. We keep everybody fit. We keep everyone firing. And I'm really excited to see what we can produce this year.
Oh, we're so excited. So, so excited. Last question I've got to ask you. And I've waited all year to ask this.
Oh, gosh.
Because I know you. And Christmas is coming.
It is.
What's your favourite thing about Christmas? I think you've been celebrating it since about September.
Yeah, I had Christmas movie night last week. My tree's going up this weekend. I just love Christmas because it's a real family time, and I think it makes everyone happy at a point of a year where it's going dark really early and you just want to get in bed at 4 o'clock because it's cold and dark outside. So I think Christmas kind of brings the joy to family and friends, and it brings everybody together. So I am putting my tree up on Saturday, which I know is like in November, but I am going to Australia next week for some CPD. So I wanted to get my tree up before I go, so when I get home, it's sparkly and nice when I get back.
You're an absolute shocker. I know you've had the Christmas socks on for months. Final question. Favourite Christmas food?
Oh, favourite Christmas. See, I'm really fussy with my food. People who know me know I'm not a foodie. I'm going to say pigs and blankets.
Oh, it's a superb choice. It's a superb choice. With sprouts, a close second.
Absolutely no green.
No green.
No colour.
Get out, Karen Gregg. Off you go. Go on. Nice to speak to you. See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Taylor McEvitt, how wonderful to see you. How was training?
Hi, no, nice to see you as well. No, training was good. It was just a Wednesday morning. It's pre-season, so it's lots of fitness, lots of ball work, but it's all good.
So I wondered, what did you learn about yourself as a netballer in 2025? It's a big question.
I guess 2025, that was my first year being vice captain as well. So like another role on top of being a player. So it's like learning about how to manage that, like how to put aside some of my own, like let's say if I'm feeling a bit low, feeling a bit this, like putting that aside for the game, for the training, to try and like, because part of my job is also like keeping the team connected as well. So yeah, just growing up in that sense, in that kind of leadership role.
It definitely felt like you had a brilliant season. I think you put out great performances and you're always really good fun as well. Do you feel like the team came together in that this year? Because you maybe didn't finish quite where you wanted to, but it felt like the team were really tight.
Yeah, no, Thunder, we always have such a strong kind of culture and we are like really tight, really fun. I think even if we have a few players that change year in, year out, it's really good that we have that strong culture and it's always a fun time, and that helps you when you win and it also helps you when you lose as well.
Right, let's look forward. 2026, what are you excited about with Thunder?
our attack end, our shooting circle. I think it's going to be like this combination of players, our shooters that we have, never played together before. They're all absolutely amazing. I actually can't wait. It's going to be insane.
I'm excited about it too. And last question, Christmas is coming. What's your favourite thing about Christmas?
I'm a big fan of the Christmas markets in Manchester. They're really good. I literally work, like, I can like see them. They're just right outside. So love the markets, even though it's really expensive. But yeah.
It's really expensive, but it's also great fun. Brilliant stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Good luck at work. Bye. Elia McCormick, lovely to see you. You've just come out of training. How was it this morning?
Yeah, it was good. It's intense. Like, there's only a small group of us, so I feel like every time there's a small group, it just automatically means there's less rest, more reps. So yeah, pretty hard.
So just thinking about 2025, what have you taken, what have you learnt from the season over the last year?
So looking back on last year, I think everyone knows it was clear to see that Thunder really did have some like hurdles like thrown at them. So it's just like once again highlighted like how resilient we are as a team and like how we managed to like come together, defy the odds. It really just shows like what a strong team like we are. And personally, probably like that was my first season, like start to finish coming back off an injury. So I was like really glad to have that under my belt and then just build on that this year.
Tell me as well about the Honey Badger, because I can see that you're smiling there. You have been so gritty on court throughout 2025. Just tell me about that.
Laura just came to training one day and her whole aim of that session was like, right, girls, I really want us to get like stuck in like from now on. I got it most weeks. I don't have no idea why. The Honey Badger is just about going on with that true like northern grit, bit of determination, and just really like lifting the team when needed.
Take no prisoners. You were brilliant. Let's look forward then to 2026. What are you excited about playing for Thunder with this squad?
I'm really excited, obviously, about like the new additions, like Elle Cardwell coming back and Sophie, obviously. And then we've also still got that like cement that we've had from the previous few years of that team where we've like played together for a few times now where we can like build on that. So it's just going to be really exciting having that team that I think already looks so, so strong.
Right, final question. Christmas is coming. I know you love your theatre, you love your musical theatre, the songs, the food. What's your favourite thing about Christmas?
I think my favourite thing about Christmas is just like the whole month in general, like not just the day. I just love how like you go to the shops, everything's decorated. The Christmas markets, like even though they've started now, but just the whole atmosphere of December is just like so nice. Everyone's in good spirits. Like Christmas films are on every time you put the TV on. So much food that you don't have to feel guilty about. So just the whole month of being able to just do what you want, basically.
Favourite bit of Christmas food?
You know, this is going to be a rogue one, but I don't eat Christmas dinner.
What? Yeah. Whoa. I don't know how to process that information. What are you eating on Christmas Day?
So every Christmas I eat something different, like British English, like a pie or a Christmas dinner. I don't eat Sunday roast. That is just not for me. So the rest of my family eat it and maybe I'll cook myself like a pasta or some prawns, or if I'm feeling really lazy, I'll eat what I like out of the Christmas dinner, which might be a little bit of chicken, a few carrots, but that's it.
You've absolutely curveballed me there, Elia. I don't know what to do with that information. I'm going to text you on Christmas Day and say, what are you eating, lady? Amazing to talk to you. Enjoy whatever you do eat, and well done for the last season. We look forward to 26.
Yes, thank you. Lovely to see you as well.
Bye. Bye. Got a new face to Manchester Thunder as well, Carla Victor, who is over here training with Manchester Thunder. You've come from South Africa. You play with the baby Proteas out there. What position do you play? How can we watch you?
So I'm a centre, and then I'm also moving to wing attack. So hopefully next year, in Jan, the Proteas is playing against England at a series. So hopefully then I will get a call up so you can watch me there. And then we'll see for the future whether we're going to sign or whatever. Where a club wants me, then I'll take that opportunity.
Well, it's brilliant to see a new face, have a new voice here in Manchester Thunder. I'm sure we'll see more from you. I am asking all the players, though, in this analysis section about Christmas, because it's an important season to really focus on. How do you do Christmas out in South Africa?
So, yeah, so Christmas in South Africa is very big, I will call it a festival. It's, you know, we're family time and we're very close in South Africa with family-wise, so that's very important to us. And I feel like every South Africa for lunch or our dinner, it's a braai. So it's very well-known food for us. So that's what we do.
Elmarie Vandenberg, who played last year, was all about the braai. Everyone was always there. I saw it on Instagram. Is it that good?
It's very good. I told Sophie she needs to come to South Africa and visit me one day, and then she'll experience like a proper braai. It's very good.
Excellent. And in the meantime, you need to get yourself on the sprouts here in the UK, okay? It's like a small cabbage, small green cabbage. Have you tried them?
No, not yet.
Okay, that is the next thing. We'll go out together. Okay. I'll give you some sprouts.
Okay, perfect.
Now it's time for Access All Areas, the part of the pod where I take you behind the scenes at Manchester Thunder to open up a little window on the club that maybe you didn't know that much about. And this time, I've gone big, because joining me on Thundercast is franchise owner David Jennings. David, it's wonderful to have you on. Welcome to Thundercast.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Now, tell me a little bit, David, about yourself and how you got involved with Manchester Thunder.
Okay, I'm a local business owner, and my youngest daughter used to play netball, was in the Thunder Pathway, and in around about 2015-16, I was asked by Debbie, would I like to sponsor Thunder, which we did for a couple of years.
So that was Debbie Hallis, who's obviously had a lot to do with Thunder. Yeah.
Oh, she did an amazing job from the early days all the way through. And then in about 2019, Debbie said, look, we need to raise money for Thunder. Would I like to invest? Which I did. We then went into COVID, and that was those tough years then. And then when we went into professionalisation, I bought the rest of the club.
So you've been on a real journey coming into this through your family, which is just brilliant to hear. You said your daughter plays netball. She's been in the pathway. What position was she?
She played a centre wing attack, but predominantly centre.
Brilliant to have that connection and bringing you in. What are your hopes for the franchise? Because as you mentioned, you became even more involved in the move towards professionalisation. And when you look at the club now, what are your hopes for it?
Well, I had a meeting recently with the staff who actually run Thunder. And what we've been saying for the last year or so, or people have been saying for the last year or so, you know, what's our objective as a club? And everyone says, look, we want to be the best on and off the court. And you go, okay, that's great. Okay, but what's that actually mean? Where's it really going to get us to actually be the best on and off the court? And so we put it into a phrase recently, and it's a goal that we have. And our goal, which is going to be quite challenging, but I hope we can get there, is we want to become the first fully professional, sustainable franchise in the UK within 5 years. So our goal is within 5 years to have everybody with a full-time job, if they wish to have a full-time job, in netball, in our franchise, and also then offer careers to, let's say, ex-players, if they want to stay within the sort of netball community, then we should be able to give them that sort of route as well. That's our goal, become fully professional. And that's why we want to be the best on and off the court.
That is absolutely incredible. And sometimes getting those big ideas down into one sentence, it can be really hard, can't it? It's like, well, what are we trying to achieve with this franchise and with this team? And then when you've got that sentence, somehow it becomes clearer and you sort of think, right, that's where we want to be and this is the path that we're going to take. It won't be easy because, you know, you're experienced in this sport. Where do you think netball is at the moment in terms of getting towards that goal?
Where netball is at the moment in time is in a challenging position. I think NSL 2.0, which is the name for obviously the new professionalisation, learnt an awful lot of things in year one. Some were good, a lot were bad. And we then need to actually change all of that. But I think where we need to get to, the biggest problem that I see with netball is that netball is really a participation sport. It's not at the moment in time a spectator sport. So when I look at the figures, and when everyone looks at figures, and I look at figures all the time, there's 850,000 people play netball every week in the UK. Apparently there's 3 million people play netball at least once every year. England Netball has 120,000 members. So if those figures are true, Why are we not filling out arenas? Why are people not coming to those games? So that is a trick that we need to resolve. And if we can then turn participation into spectators, you will fill out arenas.
I'm so pleased to get it from your perspective, because this is something that I talk about and that I think about a lot in my role as a broadcaster, because I'm a player as well. I'm out there and I'm playing on a Monday and a Thursday night. And I know there's women playing. I know there's teams out there. I've got lots of connections, lots of friends. But then for me, it's the fandom piece and how that fits in, because where is the time for women, you know, sort of built into society to go and be a fan of a sport and be a fan of netball, you know? And I think it goes back a long way, but I also want to see those opportunities come through and to be shown and given and reached out to, because I think you're right. I think the players, the sort of week in, week out women playing, they're there, aren't they? But then the next step is get them in to come and see this live sport.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, are we playing at the right time? Are we playing on the right days? Do we have the right reason for people to come? So what is it that we need to attract these people in? An interesting fact that is true about netball as well comes from Sky. And 50% of the viewership is not watched live. So how can we actually leverage that? And because I think it's a really important statistic that we can actually build on.
Well, look, David, groundbreaking times at Manchester Thunder. You became the first fully integrated elite level women's, men's and mixed netball franchise, didn't you, a couple of years ago? You've got para netball, you've got the pathways and the community. What are you most proud of at the club?
I think I'm proud of the fact that we constantly push the envelope and try and push boundaries. I think Men & Mixed was a really good example of that. I think some of the work that Gary and the team have done in para netball is astonishing. And I do like the fact that we are never standing still. So that's where I think our objective of being the first fully professional club, it really sort of strikes home. But I think the job isn't done, and there is a major job to do, and we need fans to come and support the franchise. We need them to buy tickets and season tickets and merchandise and everything else that goes on for us to actually maintain.
Give me the big sell then. You know, if you were looking at a new fan, say a group of women that play on a Tuesday night, what would you say to them to get them, encourage them to come and see Manchester Thunder?
I think the level of athleticism and professionalisation from the team is fantastic, and the skill level is phenomenal. It's very fast, it's exciting. I think the crowd are engaging. I think the way that Manchester Thunder turn up on a match day, and that's Ben and his team and Lauren and the team looking after fans coming in and giving them some entertainment and everything that we do, it makes it a really interesting event to come to, not just the netball, but the whole event of the day.
How does ownership influence your own fan experience, right? Because you love this sport, you've got a daughter that plays. Are you watching through your fingers? How do you watch the game as club owner?
I think it's just as exciting as just a fan, to be perfectly honest with you. I like to win in style. I like the team when they play brilliantly. I like to play the top clubs. It's always nerve-wracking to play those. I'm just like any other fan, I think.
Are you involved at all with the signing of players and with the squad and the strategy for a Super League season?
We leave that mainly to Karen. She knows her onions. There is no way on this planet we will ever get involved with and go against what Karen says. She knows exactly what she wants and what she's putting together, and she does brilliantly, to be fair. And I'm really pleased with the squad for next season. I think we've got some experience from this year. It's great to see Sophie Fawns coming back as well. I think our shooting circle is going to be really fascinating to watch, particularly with the super shot coming in. If Lois can keep fit, if Nat can actually play and get back to her best, then I think we've got one hell of a team for next season.
No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, keeping the defensive end from last year, that's solid, isn't it? You can build on that. You've got Amy Carter in the middle. And what a beautiful, I think is a good word for it, circle that's going to be, you know, just in terms of the finesse that will be in there. Last question I'm going to ask you. When do I get to see you play? And if you did play, what position would you be?
Well, as I'm 6 foot and probably carrying a few too many pounds than I should do, I don't think you'll actually get me to play. But if I was, I would actually be something like a goalkeeper, I would think. But there again, I can't jump like Josie can jump. So I think in that sort of, but I don't think you'd want to see me play.
Well, look, we'll keep you on the bench for now and certainly in the crowd as franchise owner. Thank you so much for giving us your insight. It is absolutely brilliant to hear how it works from the inside. Great to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Steve. Great to talk to you.
And so we reach the final whistle. And I did say at the start of the pod that I'd tell you about the best Christmas present idea going, and here it is. There is currently a sparkly 10% off season ticket prices before the 31st of December, with tickets from as little as £50 for children. That works out, I've done the maths, at £7.14 per game, and £104.50 for adults. Again, maths, £14.93 per game to watch Thunder live. Brilliant. It includes all seven home games, including the arena games, and they are something special. I told you it was the perfect present. Go to www.thundernetball.co.uk/tickets for more information. And whilst you're there, why not buy one for yourself as well? All that remains to be said is a huge thank you for listening and a massive shout out to all of you who've been in touch across the season and to those who've taken part in Fanalysis. You've been absolutely sensational. If you fancy having a chat with me about all things Thunder on the pod, do drop me a DM. I'm Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram, or email hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. All the information is in the show notes. Just have a look there. I love to hear from you. For now, though, have a brilliant festive season and I'll see you in 2026. Incredible. Bring it on. Bye for now. Thundercast is written and presented by me, Lindsay Chapman, and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production for Manchester Thunder.